Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the World Series of Politics podcast, where two heavy hitters in the political, legislative, and regulatory space take swings at the curveballs thrown at the gaming sector by legislators and regulators around the world for IGB. We've got Brendan Bussman and Grant Iden stepping up to the plate to discuss the hot topics in this space from across the world. Let's play ball on another episode of the World Series of Politics.
Welcome back to the World Series of Politics podcast. I'm your host, Brant Iden, along with my counterpart, Brendan Bussman. And we are just hanging out, just the two of us today. We've got a lot of stuff going on, Brendan. I mean,
We do, absolutely.
I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, they said, how's it going? And I said, I'm going to be a lot better once we get to summer. This is the point in the legislative schedule where I'm just like, man, I cannot get through May fast enough. I can't get through June fast enough. And the problem is I'm not getting any younger, as we talked about before we jumped on the call. But now all we do is talk about helmets. I mean, my arm, you know, your knee. I mean, we're beat up over here. I couldn't be skipping over 2 months out of the year. I mean, I don't have time for that in my life.
No, well, and the problem is, as you say that, you know, yeah, this is the heart of legislative season. We're down to the finish line in a lot of these, and we're going to talk today about some not so great things and some other delays along the way. But we'll see where some of these other things go in general. But the problem is, as you well know, while the deadlines end here, you know, from anywhere from today up through the next couple months, the fact of the matter is, the real work starts in August. It's just we're not at the deadline anymore.
Well, that's exactly. It's always the off season where we play a majority of the game, it feels like. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know.
But I'm always in preseason, you know, playing the real game as I get ready for the game to start in January. I don't know. It's tough, man. Well, you're right. I mean, you said it. I hate the negativity, you know, but here we are. We're at a couple inflection points. Indiana, of course, wrapped up. No action in Indiana. Another one off the table for the year. We had Allie on. She did a great job explaining where we were at. You know, I think as we continue to move forward in 2026, Indiana stays very much in the forefront of the discussion on online casino.
I would agree with you off of that. And, you know, I think there's other opportunities out there. Because, you know, as we talk about, hey, these deadlines are coming out there, and we talked about this a little bit with Allie, is there's going to be a lot of these states that are going to have to come back in the fall for some sort of special session, because they're going to come in with revenue because the feds are going to have a little bit less for them. And then it's, how do I fill the gap? What do I do? How do I go about it? And for some of those states that haven't, that are in good fiscal shape, they'll be like, okay, what do I need to do for some quick wins? Maybe we can do some stuff. Maybe we're in the conversation, maybe we're not. But for some of those other states that are really sitting there because they're short on Medicaid, because they're short on other things along the way that deal with health and education, all those sorts of things, you're going to run into problems that are people like, I need a big revenue source to be able to do that. And iGaming is one of those things that can happen over that.
It's really the only, I was just saying this to someone earlier this morning on a call. Online casino is really the only way you get a massive number. I mean, unless you start talking about big tax increases on citizenry, if you want to bring in billions of dollars in the long haul, online casino is the way to go. I mean, I was looking at some Michigan revenue numbers just yesterday, as a matter of fact. Michigan online casino is up from January to March of last year, 2024, to January and March of this year, it's up 37%. That number just continues to grow, which shows you that even 5 years into the market hasn't even stabilized yet. And I think this is a big one. Michigan Gaming Control Board has done a great job with the cease and desist letters. And I think you're starting to see more
absolutely
and more people come over from the illegal market as those sweepstakes and other operator online casinos get shut down. People just naturally matriculate to the regulated market. So look, the money's there. That's the reality of it.
I want to stay in Michigan for 2 seconds. So what you're please. Basically saying is the guy that set up the bill did it right.
You know, it's worked out. It's worked out. $50 million a month is a pretty big number. 30 plus but, million goes to education every month. I don't know. I don't know who's done more for education in the state. I mean, $30 million a month. That's a pretty big number.
But you remember, some guy said to you one thing after it passed. And what was that one thing that was said?
What you always say. Tax rates are too high.
I'm not
consistent
going
at
to
least,
argue with
right?
that. 28% is too high on taxes on online casino. 8.4% is real good on sports these days. All right. Hey, look, I'm going to move to you, Nebraska. Let's talk about your home state. We just wrapped things up there. What happened? I mean, we were the industry I thought was close, but no cigar. Close with no cigars, right? It's one of those things that, and I know you as a former legislator may disagree with me on this, but I still believe in the old legislative process where you can filibuster. You've got to get things done. You got to bring consensus along the way. I will say that the current filibuster rules and get to cloture votes in Nebraska are not as good as they used to be because they've amended the rules. And this is where I always tell everybody, when you start messing with rules, just realize it may come back to haunt you at some point in time. This is sort of one of those situations along the way where, there were enough votes to get the CA to the ballot, but you had to get past the cloture vote. And yes, everybody was like, oh, this is moving off of first reading and general file and everything else, and we're good. And I'm like, oh, guys, you don't understand. There's 8 hours on first round, there's 4 hours on second round, and final reading's 2 hours. They're going to go for the filibuster on four. And that's what we saw happen earlier this week. Plain and simple, as the quote was used, a sin is a sin, and I'm going to filibuster this out. And as I said in response, revenue apparently is not revenue because that came from the revenue committee chair along the way. And
That
so,
quote has been
you're
circulating, by the way. I've seen that pop up in other places, and I know that that started with you, so I have heard that.
The TM's next to me, so you know that along the way, and I know who's been sharing that, and I said no problem sharing it over that whole thing. But this is where you didn't need to take a loss because you didn't need to have it where it is. You knew you didn't have the votes to begin with, and you went through 3+ hours of debate, and then said, "Hey, we'll bring it back next year," which it's still alive, it's not dead. But the fact of the matter is, the best way to probably do this, if we're under the circumstances that we still think we need to take this to ballot, and we can talk about that too, is we'll bring this up in 26 and we'll see if the voters get another chance. If not, I guarantee there will be a referendum or initiative, I should say, on the ballot. They'll go get the signatures and it'll be a much different looking piece than what exists today. And whoever does that, I would encourage them not only to do the CA if they do that, but go through and do the statutory because a single subject. And just set the tone so you don't have to worry about the legislature dealing with it in 27 and you can get things rolling right away.
No, that's a great point. I mean, I think, look, the reality of it is that, and you and I have talked about this so many times. I've talked to lawmakers about this. If you want to have control in this process in states which allow you to go signature gather and put initiatives on the ballot, if you want to have a control of the process, you need to be forward thinking and start putting laws in place because otherwise you will lose the ability to do that. I remember when I was a lawmaker in Michigan, we lost the ability to do that because we didn't take action on cannabis. And guess what happened? Cannabis went on the ballot, passed overwhelmingly, and now it's been a series of trying to play catch up in the state on cannabis laws simply because things didn't get done right the first time. This is exactly what happens when lawmakers don't take the initiative and move forward with it. And what's interesting to me is I even heard a couple lawmakers who were nose on the legislation say something very similar to that publicly. Very frustrating. You know you need to take initiative. Why are you not doing that?
Well, I mean, case in point, and yes, I'll talk about my Huskers throughout this whole process off of this. Obviously, I need to get better talking points than our last guest did, who was all about Indiana and the Hoosiers. But you sit there and look at what happened on the ballot in Nebraska on other issues this last time. You had minimum wage. You had paid leave and you had medical marijuana. All three things that could have been dealt with in the legislature before, all three things that they went and gathered signatures. And in this case, two of them are still being debated because they're now trying to do cleanup over everything. And that's been a whole debate, which I'll get to here in a second. But then they still don't have consensus on medical marijuana. It's sitting there, can't even get out of committee over everything. Back to gaming, two things with it. As they were debating this on minimum wage and paid leave, they were talking about the initiative from 2020 that got passed in Nebraska to allow gaming. And they talk about how they amended that process on the way. One of those things, as you and I've talked about, is how they amended sports betting and made it only within retail within a quote licensed racetrack enclosure over everything. But this is where I would hope the unicameral would have a better insight, as you just talked about, going back to 2004. And I'll admit I was two at the time when this happened along the way. But this is where you had a competing initiative that said, worth is what we're going to do. Series of four different between CAs and statutories. And the legislature had the wherewithal to put up its own CA along the way that said, hey, we want to do two casinos in a nice controlled environment. Now, the problem is, and you've heard me say this, it goes back to what we talked about in California, when you have competing ballot measures, they will always fail because the voters get confused, plain and simply. This
That's
does
right.
this, this does this, and it just doesn't work in between. So that's why that failed in 2004. But the fact of the matter is, you've got to figure out how to get this done because revenue is being left on the table. The governor has said himself, and I'm still waiting for Governor Pillen's plan that he said he was going to introduce in January. He wants the revenue off of this. And there is a pathway to get the revenue today if he really wanted to. We can debate that as well, but I don't want to belabor about Nebraska. I'm still waiting for us to win football games back when I was there like we did.
There's no doubt you're passionate about the Husker State. There's no doubt about that. So there, that I will not debate you on, my friend. I agree. Tough situation this year for Nebraska. Thought it was going to be close. Well, it was close. Knew it was going to be close the entirety of the time. Hopefully have an opportunity for 2026 for everything we just discussed. Let's move on to the other thing we want to get to today. Big news this morning, and I know by the time the show comes out, there'll probably be a little bit more news, but I want to talk about the CFTC roundtable being canceled. Obviously, we all anticipated the CFTC was going to have these series of roundtables on the 30th. Those are no longer going to happen now in a situation where these future contracts are now in the question mark, right? It's the bubble with the question mark that I'm looking at. I wish I could draw that in above my head right now. What does that mean? Where are we at? Where are we going? I've got thoughts. Want to start with you. Kick it off.
Well, first off, hopefully the production crew can add that little question mark above
There
you
you
when they do
go.
that, when they
There you
put
go.
the
That's
whole
right.
thing along there. But I think it's one of those things that push sort of came to shove because everybody's like, okay, what are you doing? When are you doing this along the way? Because since when they announced these roundtables back in February, up until here we are sitting at the end of April. The world's changed significantly. You've had a lot more players chime in on this. You've had some groups like Kalshi and others go live with sports along the way and being able to do this in a very, aggressive way. No different than they were aggressively, taking bets as they well labeled that on elections and everything's last fall when they launched this. But you've got pending lawsuits. You've got cease and desists out there. I think it was, what does this circus become? That was supposed to be a five-ring circus along the way at this round table that no one knew how they were going to do, going, one, what productive thing can we get out of this? And two, how are we going to do this? And arguably, the third in that whole thing is, how does this play into a lawsuit that are pending out in at least with New Jersey and Nevada right now? More to probably come, but those cases are obviously hot and heavy and what's going on. But what are your thoughts?
No, I mean, look, you're spot on. I mean, it is a big question mark at the moment for sure. You've got, as I looked at it, one of the reasons why the judge in Nevada punted on the whole thing was because of the pending roundtable that was coming. I think from an industry perspective and others, a lot of folks were looking at this for looking, which is, by the way, our own fault, looking to the federal government for direction on anything. Probably egg is on our face,
Left heard
really,
you
at
ever
the
want
end of
to,
the day.
yeah,
Now that
left
I
heard
say
you ever
that
want
out
to
loud,
add
I'm
that
thinking,
defense, and I'm here to
what in the
help.
world were any of us thinking as we look back on that? But anyway, all right, look, here's the reality of it, right? Thought there would be some direction coming out of this roundtable. Roundtable obviously not happening now for the exact reasons I think you just articulated, Brendan. I think that CFTC now realized they're over their skis a little bit on this, which I can now use, of course, because of my situation. Very, very pertinent there. So look, got out over their skis a little bit. Now they're going, okay, now what do we do with all of this in place? I think I totaled up maybe nine cease and desist letters that are out there. You've got two pending lawsuits that are out there. You've got Michigan and Massachusetts, which haven't done anything but are investigating as they continue to look for more information. Probably some sort of action coming here shortly. You're getting up into the point where you're going to get 10, 12, 15 states that are now doing something on this. The CFTC has got to be looking at this and saying, okay, we need to do something. And look, I get it. There's a lot going on. I was not. So what's funny is I get ahead of myself. I think about two really big important issues with this that I talk about all the time. One is The CFTC issue is a bit frustrating to me because from an industry operator perspective, because I spend so much time with lawmakers talking
Absolutely.
about the fact that this is an entertainment product, which is exactly what it is. No casino's ever said this isn't an entertainment product. We've all, from this industry perspective, we've always been, this is a fun entertainment product. And the minute that you turn and make it a financial product, there's a lot of problems. You've got consumers out there think that this is a money-making financial market, and that is just wrong, in my opinion. It's wrong from an RG perspective. It's wrong for organizations like Campaign for Fair Gambling to support it when they come out with all these, want RG protections. This is very frustrating. You need to protect consumers, and this just isn't doing that. And I get literally, as the guy who passed the bill in Michigan on this big consumer protection issue, I personally get very upset about it. Then, not even to mention all the stuff that our good friend Bill Miller at the AGA is talking about, there are federal Wire Act implications here at the end of the day that aren't even being discussed. So there's a lot going on here, a lot to play out. Unfortunately, we're not going to have any resolution next week because we don't know the direction that this is going in. Again, the bubble with the question.
No, I know. Well, and as you say that, I think probably the most dismayed over the whole thing in general is probably our lack of friends over at the Campaign for Fair Gambling that apparently thought the Daily Mail piece was a hit piece, but they're trying to federalize all of this because it's for their bottom line. But that's just about self-interest, not about actually what's doing right in form of entertainment. I will say this, and we have a very good mutual friend of mine, of ours, I should say, that I was having the conversation with yesterday, and he said, one of the most important gambling-related films you can ever go see or movies is Trading Places, because it literally.
Yes, yes it is. Yes, it is.
And that's what I've thought about is this whole thing's been going on. We've debated this back and forth, going, hey, does anybody have the pork report? Need to know what that is as it's coming in here. What are we hearing out of the Florida orange
When
forecast?
is Mr. Big arriving on the train? That's what we need to know. That is how all this plays
Absolutely.
out. And by the way, what a great place to wrap up our show for the day, waiting on Mr. Big to deliver the Orange Futures report. So there we have it. Look, it's been great catching up. We didn't get to a couple other states we wanted to talk about. We've got more upcoming in the show. But look, want to thank you, as always, Brendan, for taking the time. I will see you on
Absolutely.
down the road. This has been another episode of the World Series of Politics podcast with your host, Brand Eyden and Brandon Bussman.
See you next time.
You've been listening to the World Series of Politics podcast with Brendan Bussman and Brant Eyden. We'll be back at the starting line very soon. This has been an IGB production. For the latest news, views, analysis, and data on the global gaming industry, head to igamingbusiness.com.